Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and as you take the sword, the Word of God, would you unsheath it with me this morning? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and as you find that scripture, I remind you, dear friends, that we as God's children have been given some great resources. Amen? As you read, and as we have been reading Ephesians chapter 6, it certainly makes clear, does it not, that we are in a spiritual battle. We're in a war. That's why we're called Christian soldiers. How many of you remember back in the older days that we used to sing a song called Onward, Christian Soldiers? Anybody remember that song? Onward, Christian Soldiers. You know, we are. Sometimes we forget that we are not on permanent furlough, folks. We are called to be soldiers every day. And as Christians, again, we've been given resources in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 tells us this. Remember this. It says, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Did it say some spiritual blessings? Did it say partial spiritual blessings? It said all spiritual blessings. We have been given the resources from our Lord Jesus Christ to do what we're called to do. God provides these blessings for us. Do you know why God provides these blessings? Because He loves us. Because we are His children. And as His children, the Lord God loves us. But there's another side to that. The fallen angel Satan hates us because we stand for the love of the Lord our God. And Satan, because he hates us, he wants to thwart what God wants to do. He battles against us to keep us from a victorious life. But here's the thing. Satan cannot keep us from accessing the wonderful things that God has for us. All those resources that God gives us, He cannot stop us from getting them. Isn't that an encouragement? He can't stop us. So what does He do? He tries to hinder our ability to use it and to apply those resources. He works to stop our spiritual productivity for Jesus Christ. And the only way for us to overcome his resistance, I've been reading, is to wear the armor of God, represented by the armor of a Roman soldier. The belt of truthfulness. The breastplate of righteousness. The shoes of the gospel of peace. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. And finally, this morning, we're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit. And you're going, Pastor, that's a different sword than you had. Yes, this is a different sword. We're going to talk about why it's different and what it represents. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? Paul lists this morning the final piece of the Christian's armor there in Ephesians 6, verse 17. And we're going to read from verse 10 through 17 yet again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now I'm going to ask you, does that sound like anything to take lightly? We need to get serious when we take up the armor of God. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the word of our Lord, and all God's people said. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we are grateful for your word. We know that it is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. If we hide it in our hearts, it will help us not to sin against our Lord. God, help us to take up the armor, to wear those pieces we are to wear every day, and then to take up these when we're in the midst of the battle, when we need your help. So, Father, would you help us not just to be hearers of your word, but doers. Your strength is what we need. Your Holy Spirit is what we need. Teach us in your word this morning, Father. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. I feel that way often, don't you? Paul's listed this last piece of armor, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is a reminder of the word of God. Now, all of the other pieces that we've talked about in the past have been primarily defensive weapons. They've shielded us. They've kept problems out. But of all the pieces that we've been talking about, only one is geared to be totally offensive and, I guess at times, with parrying some defense. But its intention is to be offensive. It's supposed to move forward. The Greek word used to describe this is machaira, which literally means a short sword. Now, why is that important? Why is it important that you know that this piece of equipment known as a machaira, a short sword, is important for the Christian? Because it has been related that this machaira, this short sword, is the word of God. Amen? So it is described that we have a machaira, the sword, the word of God. It's important because the machaira was the sword that the Roman soldiers carried every single day. You've seen it in the pictures. It's in a scabbard that sits on their belt, and it is something that they carry around. Now, sometimes they would use a broadsword in the midst of fighting when it was necessary. But most of the time, and on everyday use, they would carry the machaira, which is something that's used up close. Why is that important? Because as the piece of equipment that was to be carried every day, so, dear friends, is the Word of God. Amen? Your Bible, the Word of God, is supposed to be something that we carry every single day. Something that you can pull out when there's a need. Something that you can pull out when there's a thought. Something that you can pull out when someone around you has a need. Something that you can pull out when Satan attacks and tempts you. Something that you can use not only to be defensive, but offensive for the cause of Christ. Wield your daily sword. The machaira, the Word of God. All the pieces of the armor are spiritual. Every piece. So is the sword. Paul calls it the sword of the Spirit, right? We know it's spiritual, and it's for a spiritual battle, because look at verse 12. If you have your Bibles open there, look at verse 12. It says there in verse 12, "We fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual hosts of wickedness." So the sword that we use is a spiritual sword to battle what? Spiritual hosts of wickedness. Now this sword, this word, we know is spiritual because it's given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. God's Holy Spirit gave us the word. He gave us the word. It is literally, as we recall from Scripture, God breathed. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 2, it says, "And the God formed man out of the clay"? Do you remember that one? The kind of the priestly description in chapter 2? Now, it's secondary. I know it's listed first in Genesis chapter 1. But in chapter 2, it says that he formed from the dust. And then it says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Do you know what that lump of clay was before God breathed into it? A lump of clay. What was it after he breathed into it? A human being. A man made in his own image. Listen. When God breathes into something, it has life. And when God breathed this, His word, it has life. It is God breathed. It is His word. It's written by God through men, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. It is an armory of heaven weaponry. It's a guidebook for every road that you pass. It is a chart for every sea, a medicine for every malady, and a balm for every wound. Folks, the Word of God is a powerful and effective spiritual weapon. You need to carry it every single day of your life. God gave it to you. And God gave it to me knowing exactly what we would need as believers to overcome Satan and his hosts. He knew what we were going to need. But as Shakespeare wrote, here's the rub. All believers possess it. You have been given it. As you become a child of God, you are a soldier of Christ, and you are given a sword. It is the machera. The short sword, the one that's carried every day, and it should be carried with you in heart, mind, and spirit. And as you carry it, you are given it by the Holy Spirit. The problem is, a lot of people carry it, but they don't know how to use it. They have a Bible, but they don't know how to use the Word of God. God gave it to us, knowing we needed it, but also expecting us to learn how to use it. All believers have it. The problem is it takes a desire to know how to use it. Amen. It takes time to go through it and to read it and to know what it says. It takes an effort to put time into the Word of God instead of other things. And folks, it takes, above all things, the Holy Spirit's counsel for us to use it well. So you see, you don't just pick it up and go, whoa, I've got a sword, look at me use it. Folks, you better learn how to use it. Because as you wield it, I'm going to guarantee you, Satan knows the Word of God. And he's combating it. God's Word, the Bible, is an incredible, matchless, incomparable book, and it is our final weapon. The final element of armor given to the believer to battle Satan. Sadly, many Christians don't know how to use it and won't learn how to use it well. And because they don't, they fall victim to Satan because of an inept use of their sword. I want to share with you this morning, I'm not going to try to do an entire history of the Bible, but I do want to share with you, even from God's Word, what the Bible is and what it's all about. You need to know that the weapon that God has given you is sufficient and then some. Amen? So let me tell you, the Bible is the revelation of God in Word. It is God speaking to us, written in Word. And as such, dear friends, first and foremost, it is infallible. It is infallible. It is dependable among all things. It is unfailing. It's faultless, it's flawless, and it is without blemish. It is God's holy word. Psalm 19, verse 7 says that the law of the Lord is perfect. And it is. I'm going to go through these very quickly with you. The second thing is, it is inerrant. You will not find errors in God's word. You will find errors in man's word, but you will never find errors in God's word. The Bible in its totality is without error. Within the sum of its parts, there are no errors and there are no mistakes. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6 tell us this. Every word of God is pure. It's perfect. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. If you are going to find an error in something called a Bible, it's not going to be because God put it there, amen? It's going to be because man tried to add to or take away. Some people quote the Bible, and when they quote the Bible, they add their own flavor. Oh, woe be unto the man or woman who starts taking away or adding to the Word of God. It is inerrant. Third thing is, it's complete. You cannot add or take away from the Bible and be profitable. It is complete in itself. Revelation chapter 22 gives us a warning of that. Verse 18 and 19 says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add him to the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life." Do you think God takes seriously the correctness of his word? It's perfect in itself. It is inerrant. It is infallible. It is complete. And don't mess with it. Don't try to change it. It's also authoritative. I love this. I love this. When the Bible speaks, God has spoken. Listen, I don't know how many people in my lifetime have told me, "Well, how do you know when God has spoken to you? God has never spoken to me." And I said, "Have you not read his word?" "Yes." "Then God has spoken to you. You just didn't hear it." Amen. Listen, when God speaks, he speaks through his word. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 2 says this, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken." Folks, when you read the word of God, you have heard God speak. It is the voice of the Lord. The first and foremost way that he speaks to us is through his word. He speaks through his Holy Spirit to our hearts. I know he does in prayer. He speaks through his people. He speaks through our circumstances. But the foremost way that God speaks is through his word. Secondly, or fifthly, it's just as important as the second one. It is sufficient. It is sufficient for all things. God's word brings salvation and sanctification. It's all we need. It brings us from a lostness to an understanding of God and to our salvation when we trust his word. And then on top of that, after we are saved, after we come to know Christ Jesus, it begins to chisel away at the things in our life that shouldn't be there. And it begins to overlay us with the things that we should have there. It is sufficient to salvation, and it is sufficient to our daily sanctification. Everything that we need. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5 and 17 says, "The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And then in verse 17 it says, "So that you may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work." You can be equipped for every good work. God's word is sufficient. And the sixth thing is, God's word is effective. Now what does that mean? When the Bible speaks into our life, things happen. Amen? Do you believe that God's word is true? Do you believe that God's promises are real? Do you believe that God will fulfill the word that he's given to us? And if you do and you claim them, things begin to happen. The word of God changes things. It works a transformation in our life. It's like the hammer and chisel of the great artist that would sculpt. It takes the things off of us that need to be taken off, and it adds to the things that we need to have added. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11 says this, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty. It will not return with nothing, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it." Do you believe that? I believe that. If I didn't believe that, I would not preach it. If I didn't believe that, folks, I would come up here on Sunday morning and share with you some platitudes that would just make you feel good about yourself. I would tell you how lovely you are. I would tell you how nice you are, that you never sweat or stink, that you never do anything wrong. I would tell you just all the wonderful things that you would love to hear. But instead, you know what I do tell you? I tell you the truth. And sometimes you are very pleasant. And sometimes you are just as sweet as can be. And sometimes you are right on. But sometimes we are wrong. And that's why the Bible says that when we take the word of God, we look into a mirror and we're supposed to see and show us what's wrong with us. And as it shows us what's wrong with us, we're to do something about it. Just like when you peer in the mirror this morning and you got in there and you saw that your hair was a mess. You took time to comb it. You took time to clean yourself up. Guys, you probably shaved this morning. Some of us. Some of you don't shave at all. Except maybe your head there, Mitch, right? But when you look in the mirror, you see what needs shaping, right? The sword of God is a mirror. We're not just supposed to look into it and say, what a good boy am I. We're supposed to look into it and say, God, how would you mold me? How would you shape me? It's effective. I preach the Bible and only God's word because I believe it will do what it says it will do. It's effective. It's divine. I shared this a moment ago. Its origin is completely of and by the Lord our God. 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21 says this, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. It didn't come from a man. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Folks, God gave us His Word. He breathed it into the hearts and ears of men who recorded it. This is the Word of God. When you hear the Word spoken from the Bible, you have heard God speak. It is divine. And one more, it's determinative. Determinative. There we go. I'll say it fast, I'll get it right. You pray for your pastor when I get my tongue all tangled, amen? It's determinative. In other words, folks, what one does with the Bible reveals your relationship with God. What you do with the Word will tell yourself and will tell others just exactly what you believe. In John chapter 8, verse 47, Jesus said this. He said, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. You know what he's saying? The reason you don't listen to the Bible, the reason the Bible does not pull on your heart, the reason the Word of God, the sword of God, does not cut into your spirit is because you are not a soldier of Christ. And if you're not a soldier of Christ, you're not a child of God. And if you're not a child of God, you're a child of evil. And you don't belong to the Lord. If you do, in other words, follow the teachings of the Bible, you do belong to God. It's showing that you belong to God. If you don't follow it, it shows you don't belong to Him. So in that sense, dear friends, literally, the Bible becomes a determining factor in your relationship with God. It will show. And thus, it will show your eternal destiny. Because when you follow the Word of God, God's Word says you love God. Jesus said, if you love me, attend church. If you love me, do this, that. He said, listen, if you love me, obey my commands. That's how we know if you love the Lord your God. The Bible, this sword of truth, this sword of God is amazing because it fulfills all of these things and more. There is no other book in existence that can make all of these claims and sustain them. There are books that claim it, but they can't sustain it. You must have the Word of God because it is your sword. It is your protection. It is your defense. But it is also the only offensive weapon that you can use with great skill. Now, there are some capabilities of the sword, and let's cover those two real quickly. First of all, it is defensive to a great degree, to some degree. We use it literally to parry the blows of the devil. I'm glad that's not sharp. God's word is, this one's not, for my safety. Some of you worry about me just holding it, don't you? the sword is used to parry. You remember I told you that Satan had a sword? You remember? One side is what? Discouragement. And the other side is doubt. And he loves to just beat us about the head about it. Listen, we realize that the helmet protects us from the blows of a sword. But also the sword itself will parry the blows that Satan would have you come with him. In other words, what does that mean? You understand when you would have two swords coming at each other. But what does it mean when you take the word of God and you use it to parry the doubts and the discouragement of the devil? You use it by quoting the word of God whenever he comes at you with these awful temptations. With the subtleness of his perversion. And you quote the word of God and you parry his blows. It's defensive. When Satan attacks and tempts us, don't trust God. Use the word. Use the word. Jesus did with every temptation that Satan brought against him. Jesus cut him down with the word of God. With proper use of the word, dear friends, we can do that too. But the only way to do that is to know it. We must be able to defend ourselves from every angle of attack. And that's why we need to know the word of God, memorize the word of God, hold it in our hearts, meditate on it day and night. You know, I was looking at a lot of different things on the internet about sword fights and different things. And one of the things that I kept finding in almost every place that I looked, it said that swords are not to be used against the armor. They said swords are not to beat the armor. They said you use a sword by finding what? A crack in the armor. They said it's useless to just beat the armor. But that's what Satan tries to do. He tries to find an opening. He tries to find a crack where he can just slide his doubt and his discouragement in there. That's why we need to be fighting back with the word of God. Got any chinks in your armor? Don't we all? That's why we need the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, and those of you who have been to Awanas knows this one, right? Y'all could quote it for me. 2 Timothy 2:15 says we must what? Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. And in so doing, we learn what scripture to go to when Satan parries with a doubt, when Satan slices with a discouragement. When he pierces with a temptation, we know exactly where to go in the word of God. We know where to turn when we're fighting sorrow or discouragement or pride or selfishness or lust. It's defensive. But also, dear friends, it is the focus of our offensive weaponry. How? We advance the cause of Jesus Christ by sharing his truth. We advance. We don't just stand. It's the only tool we have that shows us that we can advance. Sharing his truth. Sharing his love. Sharing, teaching, preaching. Whenever you teach, whenever you preach, whenever you share, you are literally using the sword for an offense. Every time you share the gospel with a lost person, every time you bring the word to somebody that's a prodigal and you encourage them about coming home, you encourage them about God's love, every time you share the truth of God, you are cutting down a swath of doubt out of Satan's jungle. Amen? And he tries to build it so high that those who don't know God and those who are not close to God can't see out. Cut it down. Use the truth. James chapter 4, verse 7 said, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the best resistance that you have is offense. Attack. Use it whenever Satan comes at you. Now, the Bible has some wonderful resources. Let's talk about them very quickly. First of all, it is the resource for God's truth. Amen? It's the truth about life and death. Let me tell you, there are a lot of people who don't want to hear about God's truth. But God's truth, God's sword, God's word is the truth about life and death. It is the truth about eternity and time. It is the truth about heaven and hell. It is the truth about right and wrong. It is the truth about men and women. It is the truth about children and family. It is the truth about society. It's the truth about every relationship on this earth, every relationship, including the relationship between God and man, and man and man, and man and woman. It is the truth of God. So many people say, oh, I'm just looking for truth. I'm searching for truth. Well, here it is. If you really feel you need to search for truth, I'm going to tell you, quit looking everywhere and look here, because God's word is the truth. John chapter 17, verse 17 says, Heavenly Father, Lord God, thy word is truth. It is the source of truth. Secondly, it shows us the source of happiness. I've had people, when I ask them, say, well, of all the things in the world, what do you want? I've had some people say, oh, I'd like power, I'd like money, I'd like this, I'd like big houses, I'd like stuff. But you know what they're really saying? When they're saying, I said, well, why do you want money? Oh, I think that'll make me happy. Ah, there you go. So you're not really seeking after money. What you're seeking after is being happy. And I'm going to tell you that everybody that I've talked to said that that's the end of what they were looking for. No matter what it is they wanted, they thought that it was going to bring them happiness. Well, God's word shows us the source of happiness. The world around us is furiously chasing after being happy. But the simplicity of God's word is this. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34 said this, blessed is the man who heareth God. Now, what does blessed mean? There's a hint right up on the screen. What does blessed mean? Come on. Happy. You want to be happy? Don't seek the things of the world. If you want to be happy, the scripture says, happy is the man who heareth God. In Luke chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus Christ himself said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. In other words, happy are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Folks, that's true happiness. If you're seeking for happiness, seek the place that your Creator told you you'd find it. If you're a parent and you've got a little child and you've hidden a goodie in the house, and you said, hey, I want you to find something neat and fun and that is really going to give you a little joy. And the child's looking everywhere. And you say, go look in your room. But they run out in the backyard. You say, go look in your room. And they run to the garage. We as adults, God says, I'm going to tell you where it is. And I'm going to show you where it is. And we run to the business. We run to the bar. We run to other people. We run to stuff instead of running to where it's actually given, because it is in God's word how to be happy. It is the source of true happiness. The third thing in that is it's the source of growth. Isn't that the whole reason that we come to God, is so that we can grow in his truth? The Christian life is about growing in the knowledge of God, which is in God's word. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do you do that? How do you grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, 1 Peter 2:2 gives us a little hint. He says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may what? Grow by it. The word of God will help you to grow. I love number four too. It is our source of guidance. Psalms 119, 105. I'm going to tell you, all of our Awanas know this one as well. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What's the next part of that? And I will hide his word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Folks, It is our source of guidance. It leads us where we need to go. You can never say, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. God's word tells you, and you say, well, I've read it, and I still don't know what to do. Let me tell you what happens. You read it, but you didn't listen to it. You're still trying to wield a sword that you don't know how to operate. Stop and listen to the Lord. Pray. Seek the heart of Christ. He will lead you. His word is sufficient. You say, well, I've read it, and I still don't know what to do. I'm going to tell you. You need to have ears to hear the Word of God. He will guide you. The Bible, dear friends, is our spiritual weapon for victory over the enemy. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 said, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Which brings us back, dear friends, to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, which tells us that we must take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take up. What does that word mean? Take up. Don't leave it laying down. Don't leave it on the shelf. Take up our final piece of armor. You can't leave it in the sheath, dear friends. You've got to open it. Take up. Take up our offensive and defensive weapon and use it against the spiritual hosts of wickedness, because they are coming against you to keep you disillusioned, to keep you discouraged, and to keep you in doubt. A discouraged, doubtful soldier is of little use. Use it, dear friends. Parry with the sword of God. He's got it ready for you. If you belong to Him, you've got it. Will you learn how to use it? Unsheath it. Amen? Use it. Father, would you be with our hearts this morning as we are encouraged not just to be hearers of the Word, but doers. Thank you, God, for your Word that gives us instruction on every level. Father, thank you that it is sufficient for our need. Thank you that it is our source of all we need. And God, that it is available to every Christian soldier. God, help us to be successful and victorious living for you. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you take this opportunity, dear friend? Would you pray to the Father? Will you ask Him to give you insight to His Word? Ask Him to help you to wield the sword better. You do that through Bible study. In your home, in the morning, in the day, in the evening, at church. Attend a Bible study. Learn the Word of God better. Read it and meditate on it. Memorize it and carry it with you. Will you make that commitment this morning, Christian friend? Will you give yourself to be a soldier that rightly divides the Word of God? And perhaps God has put another direction on your heart. Would you lift that up to the Father as well?